Growing up in Springfield, African-American violinist Clayton Penrose Whitmore was one of few people of color around him playing classical music. Penrose Whitmore has gone on to a career in music, winning prizes in the Sphinx competition and performing with noted groups such as the Orpheus Chamber Orchestra. Penrose Whitmore will play music of the man known as the Black Mozart on Saturday night at Second Presbyterian Church in Bloomington. Penrose Whitmore talks with GLT's Charlie Schlenker via Skype about why the music of a French composer from the 1700s named Chevalier de Saint-Georges remains cool for Central Illinois audiences.
I think the concerto that I'm going to perform on Saturday is very energetic and has a lot of liveliness, and it's fun for all audiences. You know, it's very accessible, and really just exudes a lot of joy.
Not well known today. What makes him stand up compared to other people in the 1760s through 80s?
Well, he is not a well-known composer, but his music is definitely worth playing. His music sounds very similar to Mozart, and I think that it's important to perform these works by underrepresented composers. You hear Mozart concerto for 4 and 5 all the time at performances, and sometimes it's just nice to go hear something new that you haven't heard before, maybe never have thought of before, and discover new composers.
He was the son of a French nobleman and a slave. Does that diverse history recommend him to you?
Yes, for sure. You know, as an African-American violinist, I am definitely committed to playing works by composers of color. And what I was saying before, it's important to play works by underrepresented composers, especially diverse composers.
Here's an off-the-wall question. He was also a champion fencer. Is that detectable in his music?
Is that detectable in his music? I wouldn't say it's detectable necessarily. I think it's more detectable that he was a great violinist. His music is very jubilant, and I guess that could have some correlation to fencing, but I wouldn't say it's necessarily directly detectable.
You mentioned this particular concerto. He had less success with his operas. He did a number of quartets. Is jubilant and upbeat a facet of his musical personality, or is it just this piece?
It's prevalent in a lot of his concertos. This piece also has a lot of, you know, somber melodies in the second movement. But I think the style of this period is the first and third movement are very joyful and jubilant.
Classical music can be a pretty non-diverse area. You're changing that. How do you approach that as a mission, as avocation for the music itself? How do you balance that with the goal of just being a musician?
Obviously, it's pretty apparent that there aren't that many African-American violinists in the world, and it isn't a very diverse classical music field. I try to approach it by bringing awareness to different composers like Chevalier de Saint-Georges or composers like William Grant Still, who have great works of music that aren't performed that much. I do a lot of work with the Sphinx organization based in Detroit to promote diversity in classical music. And I think it's important that there's an awareness that there are musicians and composers that represent a diverse body in classical music. I think it's important that our voices be heard.
How about Florence Price or George Walker?
George Walker? Love George Walker. Lyric for Strings is one of my favorite pieces to perform when I'm playing in a string ensemble. Performed it many times with Music Institute of Chicago Academy and the Sphinx Virtuosi.
How do audiences react to you as an African-American performer?
I wouldn't say the reaction is very out front. I'd say the reaction is most apparent from other audience members of color. After a lot of performances with the Sphinx organization especially, there'll be audience members who have never been to a classical music performance, and they'll come up to me and say, you know, I never knew a black guy could play the violin. I didn't know that was even possible. I've had people say that to me before. So in those settings, I'd say it's more apparent that there's definitely people who notice that I'm an African-American violinist. In other settings where maybe there's more seasoned audience members, I haven't noticed a direct response or reaction towards me, but I'm sure that audience members aren't necessarily used to seeing it, and it might make them come away from a performance thinking a little differently about who's able to play this type of music and who should be represented playing this type of music.
Okay, let me ask the obvious pop culture question. Your thoughts on the movie Green Book about an African-American musician traveling through the South and taking his music to audiences.
I haven't actually seen the movie. I haven't gotten a chance to watch it, but obviously I'm aware of the movie and the storyline. I think it's a great story to tell, that music is one of the things that brings a lot of people together, that music is a healing mechanism.
A lot of young musicians in today's world do cross-genre performances. Mm-hmm. And if you take that approach, there are certainly a much larger number of African-American musical geniuses to choose among. Do you want to take the Scott Joplins and the Duke Ellingtons of the world into the classical music concert hall more than they already appear?
Yeah, for sure. That's one thing that definitely could be done more on the concert stage. I think it's important to diversify the works that are performed at these concert halls, if it's Scott Joplin or Duke Ellington or even modern crossover composers or producers or artists. For example, someone like John Legend or a pop artist of this era. I think there's a lot of collaboration that can be done and explored. Me being a violinist and also a producer of pop music, I think it's important that these collaborations are done, and both types of music mean a lot to me, so I don't think they should necessarily be separated or barricaded.
What pop have you produced?
I produce music for different rappers and pop singers. One of the songs I produced is called Nobody's Better by an artist named Z featuring Fetty Wap. I wanna know what's on your mind. Baby, can you tell me? We are such a mystery. Such a mystery.
Does your classical training inflect your work in the pop area?
At first, it had a huge influence, noticeable influence, just by the way I constructed tracks. I think I approached it in more of an orchestral way, creating a lot of layers, using a lot of strings. Now, I'd say it probably influences my production more discreetly. I use my training every day when I'm working on music, but I feel like it's more in my subconscious and I don't really notice how it influences my production, but it's definitely influencing it.
You're still a young performer. Where do you see yourself in 10 years?
That's a great question, 10 years. I see myself doing a lot of different things within music. I love playing orchestral repertoire. I want to pursue a lot of chamber type playing. Like, I love playing in string ensembles. I like playing Baroque music. I want to pursue playing in some Baroque ensembles. I want to get into film composition. I want to continue doing music production for pop. There's a lot of things that I definitely want to pursue. So it'll be interesting to see where that takes me in 10 years. Hopefully I'm doing all of them and able to maintain a busy and healthy schedule.
African-American violinist Clayton Penrose Whitmore spoke via Skype with GLT's Charlie Schlenker ahead of his Saturday performance with the Illinois Symphony Orchestra at Second Presbyterian Church in Bloomington.